For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It might be interesting and important for you to know.
The Paul Kurtman Show.
People that have some common sense and they're willing to say some things out loud that everybody else is just thinking.
When the left has the government, it's chaos and it's dangerous.
Paul Kurtman.
It's not really about the climate, it's about control.
This is the Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL.
And good afternoon, St. Louis. This is Paul Kurtman right here on the Paul Kurtman Show on News Talk STL. In the studio today with Ken Williams. There's so much going on this week. These indictments against Donald Trump. Everything going on with the Biden administration, all the corruption involved there. And Ken, I just want to get right into talking about government corruption. We'll have a little history lesson too, because you know there's a lot of government corruption that's taking place in Missouri, actually. I'll tell you an interesting story about that going all the way back, like over 100 years ago.
Okay.
But let's start out. I just want to jump right into this.
Okay.
Joe Biden, clip number 25. Let's play this.
Every allegation, Congresswoman Nancy Mace says there's damning evidence in the FBI file that you sold out the country. Do you have a response to congressional Republicans?
Where's the money?
Okay. There you have it, right? This Joe Biden being asked by a reporter, hey, there's a congresswoman saying that there's plenty of evidence to suggest that there's corruption. And Joe Biden's response is, where's the money?
That is a mafia, what was his name? The big mob leader.
Al Capone?
Al Capone. He's saying, yeah, well, you know, prove it.
Yeah.
Show me.
This is what somebody says when they're sitting in the interview room in the police department. And they think that they've gotten away with murder because the police can't find the body.
Right.
And so they think to themselves, well, where's the body? You don't have any evidence. But the thing is here is there's plenty of evidence. We know. Like, we actually have dollar figures about all the money that's moved between Hunter Biden into these accounts that have been joint-owned with his father between China and Ukraine. It is rampant, and there's so much of it.
Paul, 12 or 15 shell corporations that were divided up and named by kids in the family and divided up by 9 Biden family members. They've got this trail. They have the documentation. Marjorie Taylor Greene says, not only do we have documentation on 5 million, we have documentation on 10 million.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of it.
Okay, let me play it again. And listen to how he responds. Not just what he says, but listen to how Biden responds.
Bribery allegation. Congresswoman Nancy Mace says there's damning evidence in the FBI file that you sold out the country. Do you have a response to congressional Republicans?
Where's the money?
I mean, it almost gives me a chill. That's a president of the United States.
And in the there is an extended version of this clip where he jokes and laughs and tries to blow it off.
I want to be in full disclosure here. When I took this clip, I purposely cut that off, and here's why. The first real response that we heard was this, okay? He came back immediately and said, oh, no, I was just joking. That's malarkey. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't care about that anymore.
This is somebody who's going back, trying to soften up their answer.
Because the real answer was the initial answer.
The real answer is, well, where's the money? You have to prove there's corruption. He's not going to say no. He's going to say, where's the money?
But Paul, you have to do it with a smirk. Where's the money?
There is so much corruption. I was on with Mike Ferguson in the morning, Friday morning, and we were talking all about, I think one of the questions that was asked, I think Gabe asked me this question, Gabe Pfeiffer. He said something along the lines of, Paul, is there any going back because of the way things are in American politics right now? And my response to him is no. I just don't think there's any going back. I don't think there's any going back because now we have political parties and like they're constantly going after each other, trying to put each other in prison. We have another clip here. Where is this clip about, is it Josh Hawley? Oh yeah, Josh Hawley, clip number 26. This is where Josh Hawley is talking to Laura Ingraham and he's talking about this exact issue about these political parties and they're constantly trying to jail their opposition. They're not trying to win the arguments anymore. They're just trying to jail their opposition.
If the president in power can just jail his political opponents, which is what Joe Biden is trying to do tonight, we don't have a republic anymore. We don't have the rule of law. We don't have the Constitution. Our Constitution is built on the basic rule of law and due process, and nobody should be in doubt of what's happening tonight. Joe Biden and his cronies are trying to take out their chief political opponent. This has never happened before in American history, Laura. We are in dangerous, dangerous waters, and it is because of Joe Biden.
And that's chilling to me when he said that, when he said we're in dangerous, dangerous waters right now. It's never happened before.
Yep. So we've seen it happen in other countries. We've seen it happen throughout history. I've talked a lot about ancient Rome because that was my area of, that was my academic discipline in graduate school. And there used to be the Roman Empire. And before the Roman Empire, there was the Roman Republic. Under the Roman Republic, the people were really kind of in charge. They had senators that they would elect. They had the rule of law. They never had an emperor. Rome never had an, then in the year 100 BC or 200 BC, they did not have an emperor. They didn't have an emperor until the mid first century before Christ. And it was when Julius Caesar was coming back with all of his army, coming back from these barbaric territories to the north. And the Senate was highly opposed to him coming back because they knew he wanted to assume power because there was, for lack of a better expression, folks, listen, this is an excellent history to read. The government was in a very turbulent, volatile place, and it was a perfect opportunity. All the volatility in politics was a perfect opportunity for somebody like Julius Caesar to come in and completely take over. So there was a man named Pompey who him and the Senate had told Julius Caesar, you need to stay there. Do not come down here. If you come down here, you're going to get arrested. Julius Caesar took it upon himself to whip up his army. They crossed the Rubicon. You ever hear the phrase, oh, we're crossing the Rubicon?
Yeah.
That means there's no going back. We've made a decision that we're going to be held accountable for.
Okay.
And he went straight down into Rome and took over Rome. So it has never happened like we see happening in America today. I mean, it has on smaller degrees, but it's been happening really since the beginning of time with the biggest empires that the world has ever known. And what does Julius Caesar do? He jails and kills all of his political opposition. That's what he did because he had to consolidate power. So in America today, let's just kind of tie this in to what's going on today. If you want to consolidate your power, you have to strike fear into the hearts of people and make them think that they better not open their mouth. They better not resist. They better not stand up. They better not say drain the swamp or else you might be next. And you might have heard me say this before, Ken, but folks, you had better start standing up now. When this kind of stuff is happening to Donald Trump, for example, right? Like trumped up charges. We know it's all fake. The Russia collusion,
every
right?
Every bit of it.
Every
yes,
bit of it.
Yes.
Every last bit of it's totally fake.
Right.
But if you don't stand up, even if you don't like Donald Trump, maybe you're one of these conservatives that doesn't like Donald Trump, you better stand up for him. You better stand up for him because if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And if they can do it to Donald Trump, they will do it to you and they'll do it to you at every level. You don't have to be running for the White House. You could be running for school board and they do this to you.
Oh, yeah. And you don't have the funds to fight them. There's no way. Donald Trump barely has the funds to fight them. I mean, his problem is he has the funds. He doesn't have the time because what they're trying to do is they're trying to occupy his time and they're trying to actually weaponize the DOJ in order to interfere in the election coming up in 2024. And Paul, this is not just happening at the Department of Justice. It's happening with 87,000 new IRS agents. They're going to give a chilling effect to people all across this country.
You know, and here's a question about the IRS agents. Why do tax collectors get to carry guns? Does anybody else have a problem with that, or is it just me? I don't think the IRS should have a SWAT team. I don't think that they should have a budget for guns and ammunition, and they do.
And what Paul's referring to there is they have actually put out real ads, you know, looking for, I guess, I want to say IRS agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the sense of they would be armed agents potentially. One of the requirements was, are you willing to use force with a weapon?
Why is part of the job requirement to be asked whether or not you're willing to use force?
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
In this country, it's crazy. I mean, Uganda maybe. You know, we've heard about this type of activity in countries like African nations. They're smaller, and they actually, that's where you probably hear, you know, the banana republics in different countries where they do things like this. They take their opponent. Well, even in Russia, you know, there's arguments there that, you know, the person who went up against Vladimir Putin in elections, he basically just disappeared.
You mentioned the term banana republic. So let's talk about this for a second, because the term was originally coined by an author. Somebody, some people might know this author. He's an American author from the early 1900s named O. Henry.
Yeah.
Okay, so he started writing, and he wrote a book called Cabbages and Kings, and in that book, he coined the term banana republic. In popular culture today, this is the definition that we have for it. It is characterized by a combination of factors, including a weak and corrupt government, economic dependence on a specific export commodity, and often foreign intervention and control by more powerful nations.
China.
Yeah. Oh, man. My goodness. You want to talk about economic dependence?
Oh,
if China decided to call their debt today, we would be done.
Yeah.
We would be done. We're also economically dependent on OPEC because the U.S. dollar, or all oil, is tied to the U.S. dollar in terms of trade. If OPEC ever decides to stop trading on the U.S. dollar, we're done.
If China called it in, we would be done, but we would have to be done in a different way. We would actually probably go to war. And we're not at this point in time, in the time of history, we are not no longer prepared to be able to go to war with China at this point.
Okay, now listen to this. These countries, I'm reading from what it means to what a banana republic actually means.
Yeah.
So historically speaking, these countries were often subject to the economic and political influence of foreign corporations, such as the United Fruit Company, now known as Chiquita Brands. So when you go buy bananas, Chiquita Bananas. This held significant control. This company held significant control over the banana industry. And the influence of these corporations led to exploitive labor practices, inequality, and a lack of political and economic autonomy for the countries involved. And what it means by that when it says this, whenever you get corporatism in government, it's not capitalism. That's actually a form of fascism, because you have the government in bed with companies to decide what policy is going to look like and who's the winners are and who the losers are going to be. There's a big difference between socialism and communism.
A lot of that's going on right now with social media companies and the government sitting in bed together.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's not even just that. It's not even just social media companies. That's where it probably impacts us on a day-to-day basis, literally at our fingertips.
Yeah.
On the keyboard. But I mean, it happens in much other industries too.
Look at the auto industry right now. Basically, the government is mandating that they do so many EVs, and the corporations are actually saying, "Look, we have really no choice. We're going to have to retool to gear ourselves toward electric vehicles from now on."
Or consider ESG, environmental, social governance. ESG companies that have this certificate of, hey, we're all about climate change, we're all about social justice. And what does President Biden do? He signs a memo telling asset managers, hey, you should be working in the best interest of your clients by making sure their money is giving them a return. But, you know, it's also in their best interest that the oceans don't rise. So make sure instead you invest their money to all these woke companies. And that's exactly what it is. It is a form of, so this is where the left is so wrong. Fascism, socialism, communism, they all belong on the left. People like to say, you right-wing fascist. There's no such thing as a right-wing fascist.
No.
Because on the paradigm of government, all authoritarian government, which is authoritarian government, socialism, that's authoritarian. Communism's authoritarian. Fascism certainly is authoritarian. And all those are different forms of authoritarian government. And those are all leftist governments. Over here on the right where I am, I want limited government. I want less and less and less government. People don't understand that today. And that's why you have people that use these phrases like banana republic. They don't even know what they mean. And that's why when somebody like Joe Biden says, you think I'm corrupt? Well, where's the money? And people aren't even going to give that two thoughts. They're just going to say, yeah, where's the money? But they don't look deeper, and they can't read between the lines and understand that a man in the White House, rather than denying the corruption, he's instead putting the blame back on us because we see it, but he says it's not true unless we can have an accounting of every single penny. Forget all the evidence that's there. Forget the fact that we do have dollar figures. He's just telling us to ignore it.
I just found out that it's pretty well known at this point that Zelensky now is worth almost $700 million.
What?
Yeah.
A comedian? A comedian?
Where did he get that money?
No kidding. Where did Zelensky get $700 million?
I'm just throwing that out there. That's something we can talk about or not later.
Wow. But that's, I hadn't heard that, but yeah, if that's true,
I read
every
about
American
it.
Should be up in arms because this guy could practically fund the whole war himself.
Right.
Man. It is just going absolutely nutty over there. But you know what? It's going nutty over here in Washington, D.C. Hey, when we come back, we have a lot more to talk about. We got a handful of clips that we're going to play in the second segment and the third segment. So make sure you come back and join us right here, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirkman. This is the Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to The Paul Kirkman Show on News Talk STL.
All right, and welcome back to The Paul Kirkman Show. Through the break, Ken and I were talking about how we're just going to stay on this topic of government corruption throughout the whole hour of The Paul Kirkman Show. Because there's so much.
It's that important.
It's that important. And the thing is there shouldn't be an hour's worth of time to spend talking about it. But unfortunately, it's all that we can ever talk about because it just is, it's constantly happening. But like I said, hey, I'll tell that story. I'll go ahead and tell that story about Missouri. You want to hear the story?
Yes.
So I haven't necessarily confirmed this. However, when I was serving as a state representative in the Missouri House of Representatives, this was a story that I had heard on a number of occasions. So I don't know, listeners, how long you've lived in Missouri. Many of you are lifelong residents, born, raised here. Some of y'all might be newer to Missouri. Missouri's first capital, I think, was in St. Charles.
Yes.
So you can actually drive up there, First Capitol Drive in St. Charles, Missouri. You can actually see the old Capitol building there.
Yeah.
But it had moved. With the Missouri Capitol has burnt down at least twice in Missouri. Once from a lightning strike in Jefferson City, but it burnt down when one of the buildings had burnt down, I believe, when it was in St. Charles. And so the legislature had to move into a makeshift building. And at some point in time in Missouri's history, the legislature meeting in St. Charles decided we need to have a capital city in Missouri. And what they decided to do essentially was follow what the Spanish would do whenever they were trying to find a capital location. And they would move their capital to the geographic center. That's what the Spanish would do in the U.S. That's why Tallahassee in Florida. Tallahassee is right up, if you look at northern Florida, right up along the panhandle, it's right in the center.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so like there's reasons when you see former Spanish territories, the Capitol building is in many, not all, but in many cases, right in the geographic center. So the Missouri General Assembly decided, hey, let's use the Missouri River. It cuts right through Missouri, almost perfect, north and south. And they said, let's go halfway through. So right now in Jefferson City, just south of where Fulton, Missouri is today, or Kingdom City, a little bit south of Columbia, that general region, that is where the General Assembly chose to put the new capital of Missouri and call the capital city Jefferson City. Now, here's the stories that I had heard when I was in the legislature. Knowing that the legislature had total control over deciding which land to buy to build the new capital property, the Missouri State Senate, many of them, maybe not all, maybe all, I'm not sure, but many state senators bought up the property for pennies on the dollar and then decided, let's have the state government buy our property that we bought in Jefferson City. So essentially, we're going to vote to have the state government buy property that belongs to us so we can buy it from these farmers dirt cheap.
Wow.
And then we can have taxpayers enrich us as we make a motion and move to vote on building the new Capitol building on land in Jefferson City that we just bought, knowing full well we were going to have the state taxpayers buy this property in the first place.
So this has been going on forever.
Forever. And in Missouri, this type of corruption continues in the form of different kinds of policies. I would highly recommend that Missouri citizens go to the Missouri Auditor's website. We have a good man who's the state auditor right now. His name is Scott Fitzpatrick. He's a friend of mine. He's a good guy. Served with him in the Missouri House of Representatives. I helped him get elected. Spoke at one of his fundraisers when he was campaigning for his first campaign before, for the state house. Good guy, Scott Fitzpatrick. But if you go to the website, you will see a list of all the audits that all the auditors have done, not just him, but Nicole Galloway, Tom Schweik, Claire McCaskill, Susan Monte. You see all these auditors going back, all these audits going back of Missouri departments and agencies. And on the first page of an audit, you can read what's called the Citizens Report or the Citizens Audit. I can't remember how it's titled. But on that report, you can see where money has been wasted and spent, and a lot of it raises red flags. You want to talk about corruption? I've talked about this on my website at length. Have I ever told you, Ken, about the Missouri Department of Transportation and the money that they spent on one of their employees' second homes?
No.
Okay, so this will blow your mind, but folks, this is why you need to go to the auditor's website, because you'll see this stuff. It's written on the Citizens Report. It's so easy to read. You can see all this stuff right out for everybody to read. Tom Schweik, who is a great auditor.
Yeah.
He was going to run for governor in 2016. He passed away before his time. I mean, he passed away, and it was a real loss to the state of Missouri and to the citizens of our state.
Yeah, I remember
he had the respect
that.
Of Republicans and Democrats alike because he did the hard work.
Right.
So he did an audit of the Department of Transportation, and in that audit, and you can read this on the website, he discovered that within the Department of Transportation, they have funds that they will use to cover the cost of relocation assistance. Because if they're going to move an engineer, somebody who could be making millions in the private sector, if they're going to decide instead to work for the state of Missouri, we want to take care of them because we don't want to lose them to the private sector. So we have different perks. One of them is relocation assistance. So if you're living in St. Louis and then we say, oh, well, you know what? We really need you in Kansas City. We will cover the cost of your move to Kansas City.
Okay.
But it's not for everybody. It's only for a few people that get those perks. But what Tom Schweik discovered is that the Department of Transportation, and it's right there in the audit, they had an employee who did not qualify for relocation assistance, but they gave them relocation assistance anyway. There's the first problem. Second problem is this. The employee who got relocation assistance owned two homes. So when he decided to relocate across the state, he sold his second home. But because he sold his second home at a loss, the Department of Transportation cut him a check essentially for the difference so he could get his warm and fuzzy feeling back and not feel like he just missed out by selling his home at a loss. So the taxpayers covered it so this guy wouldn't actually lose any money on the sale of his second home. How many Missouri citizens do you think even own a second home?
That's crazy.
But all of us taxpayers just helped cover the cost of one of our own state employees, the cost that he should have incurred, but instead we all paid it because he wanted to sell his second home.
So, Paul, you're a financial person. You're a former legislator. This is the biggest problem that I have locally and federally. You've got Nancy Pelosi, who's worth over $100 million, and she is one of the people who create policy for Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so these people that run the government, they have advanced knowledge of things that they're going to be passing. And then they engage it. It happens. It becomes a bill. It becomes a law. Whatever it becomes to motivate Wall Street to do what they're going to do. But they have advanced knowledge of all this. And Nancy Pelosi claims, well, no, I don't tell my husband anything about that. None of this has any bearing on any type of funds that I, you know, invest in any way, shape, or form. Do you believe that?
No, I don't believe that for a second. Not for a second. When we talked about this a little bit last week, all the people who have done so well beating the market, when the market's down 10% or 20%, whatever it was in 2021 or 2022, but you have politicians that are beating the market more than most hedge funds. They're like actually beating. The market's down 20%, but somehow or another, congressmen are so smart and they're such financial geniuses that they can beat the market by 50%. How in the world is our country in the financial shape that it's in with these types of financial geniuses running the show?
And you reminded me of something I wanted to mention last week about Nancy Pelosi. There was one point, I think it was in 2020, it might have been in 2019 where she was beating the market so badly, people were saying, well, wait a minute here. You're so good, Nancy. You shouldn't be in the position you are. You should be at Wall Street making billions of dollars because you are that good.
Should
how illegal
be.
How illegal is that? I mean, I guess it's not illegal. But
well, it should be. A book, folks, listen, read this book. If you aren't a reader, read this book. It's only about 80 pages long, okay? It's called The Law, written by a French guy named Frédéric Bastiat. The French apparently never read it, but you should read this book, The Law by Frédéric Bastiat. In the book, The Law, Frédéric Bastiat, which was this 19th century economist, philosopher, political insight giver, okay? A bestower of wisdom. He coined the term legal plunder. And legal plunder is what it means when the government makes something legal for the people inside government, but illegal for everybody else. So let me break this down like this. It would be illegal, Ken, for me to, as a lawmaker or just private citizen, Paul Kirtman, to just break into your house and steal your television. That would be illegal. I'm taking your property.
Right.
I'm breaking into your house. I'm taking stuff that doesn't belong to you. But if I'm a lawmaker and I say, well, it's illegal for everybody to do that, but if you're in office, you get immunity. Well, now I can break into your home and take your stuff because it's legal for me, but it's illegal for you. There are no consequences for me. There's only consequences for you. And what makes it worse is I'm the lawmaker. There's no law to enforce that would send me to jail unless I write that law. But do you think I'm going to write that law to have myself be held accountable? Absolutely not.
See, that legal plunder there, that in some sort of way reminds me of the Biden administration Department of Justice and how he controls them. And he can write it.
For sure. And this whole where's the money business that Joe Biden says when he's confronted on his corruption, well, where's the money? Well, the money's there. Like we know of multi-million dollar transactions that have moved in and outside of yours and Hunter's and Hunter's accounts. And we know we talked about it in the previous segment, I think, all the different businesses that have been started by their family members just to house and shell all this money.
Yeah.
So here's somebody who clearly can get away with it. Why? Because he's on the inside of the Beltway. Whereas me and you, if we tried this, we'd get busted, sent off to jail, and they'd be making an episode of American Greed on CNBC about us.
Yep, exactly.
That's how
right.
that it works, because it's legal plunder. It's legal for them to plunder. It's just illegal for us.
Wow.
And we keep voting for these people. People, for whatever reason, and I can't figure this one out yet, we have people living below the median income in the state of Missouri in terms of salary, and they still want to give money to the Democrat Party. It is absolutely blows my mind. And I'll just be fair here. I don't think people should give their money to the Republican Party either. The Republican Party tried to undo Trump when Trump got in there and started to do the things that he said he was going to do, which is why everybody had voted for him. And the Republicans had both the House and the Senate, and they're the ones that started all these investigations. The Republicans were the first domino to knock down that whole line of dominoes that the Democrats are now running with.
I've not aligned myself with the Republican Party for probably 15, 20 years. I mean, it's been that bad. But when Donald Trump came on board, I thought, well, this guy's really unusual. He's kind of a rule breaker here. And you know what was really intriguing to me about Trump is that he was not owned by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have favors that he had to fulfill. He was his own person, and he was brash, but he got a lot of things done, and that's what's going on with him right now. They are scared to death that Donald Trump is going to be in the presidential seat again. And if he is, he is not going to waste any time. First day out, he's going to be mm-hmm. cleaning house.
Yep. The corruption runs deep in Washington. And folks, read these audits. The corruption runs deep right here at home in Jefferson City. Another audit that people can read has to do with the low-income housing tax credit. You've had multiple auditors from both sides of the aisle say there's money here that's just unaccounted for. But it's also like the biggest tax credit in the state of Missouri. Transferable tax credits, folks. Look up transferable tax credits. Ken, this is how a transferable tax credit works. You want to know what corruption looks like when it's being written into the laws? It takes the form, in many cases, of transferable tax credits. So, Ken, as State Representative Paul Kirtman, you could come to me and say, hey, State Representative, I'm going to create 50,000 jobs in the state of Missouri, but it would sure grease the wheels if you could give me a tax credit. That way, it's not so expensive for me to create all these jobs. And I'm going to be inclined as a state representative to say, oh, well, I don't want to vote no for a job creation bill.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But in order to give you what you want, we have to pass a transferable tax credit, meaning from one year to the next. I'm just going to use these basic numbers here. Let's say that you have $1 million tax credit. So essentially, you have $1 million worth of taxes that you don't have to pay because you have a credit for that. But if it's transferable, Ken, and you only have a $500,000 tax liability, that means you have a $500,000 credit that you haven't used. So you know what you can do with a transferable tax credit?
What?
You can take that $500,000 that you didn't use, you can take it to somebody called a broker. These people actually exist. And if Joe Schmo out there owes $500,000 in tax credits, but he doesn't want to pay $500,000, or he owes $500,000 in taxes, but he doesn't want to pay it, he'll come to you and say, hey, I'll buy your $500,000 tax credit from you at $200,000.
Oh, my God.
So he doesn't get to pay $500,000 in taxes because he just got your tax credit. But what did you get? You got $200,000 of cold, hard cash. Transferable tax credits, folks, right here in Missouri.
We need to clean house. I mean, not just on a federal level, but state level. And when I say clean house, I don't mean wipe everybody out. I'm saying we need to get in there and revisit what's going on.
The swamp is deep. And you know what? The political swamp stinks just as bad as every actual physical, literal swamp in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll be back here in just a few minutes for the third and final segment of the Paul Kirtman Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirtman. I was down so low, I couldn't tell. You're listening to the Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirtman. How many years will I have to pay? I feel the weight in my heart. This is the Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL. To say,
well, our country is at very real risk of backsliding on freedom and equality, but that is exactly why we continue to push. There has been extraordinary work that's been done just in this presidency, certainly the president being able to sign the Respect for Marriage Act, for example. And if you zoom out to the progress that's been made in the last 10 or 15 years, including the ability of somebody like me to be standing here doing this job, it's extraordinary. And yet now you see the attacks on the LGBTQ community, especially on the trans community, and what they are going through. And, you know, I think it's being done out of a perception that it is politically convenient to target vulnerable groups. And honestly, I think where it largely comes from is folks who don't want to talk about why they were against the infrastructure law that's building the roads and bridges.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ2+ kids plus. Rights.
This is why people don't want to talk about it, right? Because it's almost next to impossible.
Right. There's so much.
So Pete Buttigieg, listen, buddy, bring down those abbreviations a little bit, right?
Right.
I mean, we're up to LGBTQIAZ, whatever. I mean, where's the madness gonna end? I mean, they talk about inclusivity. Well, you're gonna have to have so many abbreviations just to be able to talk about everybody that you think you're fighting for, and then you get mad because people don't want to talk about it. And then even the left, Justin Trudeau, comes in here like he's going to save the day. And he comes in because he's standing up for him, and he can't even say it himself.
Right. And the flag that they're talking about, that the one with the light blue, it has new lines in it and everything. Well, what people don't realize is there's a light blue and there's a light pink portion of that flag. Well, that's the transgender flag. Well, what people don't realize is they're adopting it in this fashion that the white portion of that represents transgenderism, but the light pink is for little girls and the light blue is for little boys. And you know where I'm going with this. And they're posting this, they're hanging this flag at schools around the country, at companies around this country, and they don't even realize what they're flying.
The Babylon Bee, which we haven't talked about in several weeks, they have the absolute best headlines about the Pride flag. There's one. This is pretty funny. Some of these are kind of old. I'll just give you a couple. Pride flag at, so the Babylon Bee, folks, is just satire. So if you are not like-minded with Ken and I, don't write a letter to us. This is a joke.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
Pride flag adds big G for groomers.
Big G.
A big G for groomers. It's so funny because the only other time you use a big G is when you're referring to the Almighty God.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Of course, the Pride flag, big G for groomers. And then this one, I thought this one was really funny. New subscription service sends you updated Pride flag every month.
Because, that's crazy.
Because they're always adding new colors.
Oh,
new
stripes. Yellow. You got a gold with a circle, a purple circle. It's supposed to remove
symbols.
Yeah.
Folks, you can't see this online, but I'm just right now showing Ken three versions of this flag. And it's just getting, it is just out of control.
That's crazy. And I saw, and here's the thing that, you know, that really puzzles me is more and more of the gay population needs to be standing up against this whole indoctrination of children and transforming children, because that's what's going on. What the problem we're having here is a misunderstanding of why we object so much. Gay pride has been going on for decades, and we haven't had a problem with it because it's dealt with gay adults. Yeah, there's a faction of people. There are Christians have a problem with it, but they don't have a problem to the point to where they're telling them that you cannot live this way.
Well, here's the problem. And I know I'll get hate from everybody for saying this, but I am a Christian. I believe in traditional marriage. I believe in something that our founding fathers believed in called natural law. And I actually had this discussion with a gay couple that I represented in my district, which, by the way, people say gay rights are human rights. Human rights are human rights. And sometimes people are gay, but that means that they still deserve the basic fundamental rights that everybody enjoys.
Right.
But what they don't get and what nobody should get are special carve-outs that give them the ability to do things, say things, or act or behave in a way that nobody else can.
Or to force somebody else to
accept.
Accept and force someone else to actually have to respond in a certain way to them.
See,
being forced to say certain things and use certain words that they would not normally do, which I will not play the game.
I absolutely refuse to. I still believe, as a Christian, it should not surprise anybody that Christian people have Christian beliefs.
Right.
And my Christian beliefs dictate, my faith dictates my understanding and interpretation of the Bible. A Christian might say, you know, the way the Holy Spirit leads me is to live this way or to exercise these types of virtues, kindness, mercy. All this stuff is in the New Testament. But as a Christian, there are things that I will absolutely not get on board with. And it's not because we hate people.
No.
But it's because we believe that there is an order that was designed by God, and every one of us has fallen short of it. Everybody has.
Yeah.
It's not because you're gay. It's because I have lied before. So I have fallen short of that order too. The way the Bible says it is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some people's sins are over here, and it's XYZ. And other people's sins are ABC. So everybody in the world has fallen short of this. And the whole point is not to say it's about tolerance and you are Christians and you should love and tolerate. That is not true. Christians are supposed to be discerning people. And the Bible says that the righteous judge all things. And you know what? Everybody judges all things. That's called discernment. And it's how we decide what friends are good friends to have.
Yeah.
It's how we decide which job we want to take. It's how we decide which schools we want to send our children to. So everybody has these discerning parameters in their life. But for Christians, ours are just over here.
Yeah.
And that's what that is.
But I still maintain that, you know, people are people, and being gay, if you're gay, that if you're an adult and you're gay, live your lifestyle the way you want to. I'm not going to impose on you personally. That, now that's up for debate for other people in another day. But my problem is when they started to involve children and indoctrination and then mutilation. And it's a slippery slope that we started with probably two or three or four decades ago, but it's now going downhill so fast that we can hardly even keep up with it. And I saw this video, Paul, real quick, that this person, this gay person had a pride flag that had all the other parts of it on there, the new ones that you just showed me, and she cut them off and said, I'm just taking the pride flag back. I know everybody doesn't agree with it. This is me. That other part of it, I don't know where that came from, but they're trying to make it as being a part of me, and it's not.
I remember when during the debate over same-sex marriage, and everybody, and the whole argument against people who believe in traditional marriage was, well, you people are just wrong and hateful and bigoted. This isn't going to lead to anything else. If it was, I'm just going to say this as somebody who has endorsed and supported traditional marriage. And by traditional marriage, I mean in the biblical or in the otherwise religious context, regardless of what your religion is. Okay.
Between a man and a woman.
Between a man and a woman. So you don't even have to be, there are people out there who do not, who aren't Christians, who aren't Muslim. There are people out there who are atheists. I don't know how many, but I know there's some out there who still believe in what we would call traditional marriage. Right,
right.
The argument was, this is just about people that just want to love each other, but it is a fair statement to say that where we are now in terms of ushering children into the transgender drag shows and strip teases that we're seeing at the Elks Club and at Taco Bell and wherever else it's been reported that they're having these things, we would not be here if we didn't first go there in terms of other areas. I had this conversation with a gay couple in my district who I represented, who I invited to my office to have this discussion because I want to talk about things. I want to have the discussion. We have already civil unions. So we can have two couples that are same sex get together and get married, essentially in terms of the law. They get all the same tax credits, tax breaks, and everything else. And so it wasn't, was it about equality? And this is a discussion to have. Was it about equality or was it about going after something that the religious community has always claimed, no, as far as a religious ceremony goes, this belongs to institutions of faith. I think that it has. I could be wrong. I've been wrong about many things in my life. But then the next thing that happened was they went after Christian bakers because they wouldn't make a cake for a same-sex wedding. And it seems that there was a war on the religious defense of traditional marriage,
yes,
rather than traditional marriage itself.
Exactly.
That's where I'm going with this.
And that's true, because it is. It's a nudge forward, mm-hmm, and never stepping back. And they keep nudging forward and nudging forward. And this is why we are here where we are right now. But the problem is that if we don't put a stop to this, if we don't stand up to the wokeism and the ESG corporations and all the other things that are promoting this type of behavior and activity, it's going to get worse to the point they're saying, you know, that there's a lot of child trafficking going on now.
Yeah.
That we have, it's always been happening, but now it's at a level that we would not even imagine. When you have 24,000 children across the border coming over and they can't even find out where they are right now.
Oh man, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's really heartbreaking. I want to get back to something that you said, and I 100% agree with you. This is America, and I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. that said, no men are free unless all men are free.
Right.
And the point being that you have to have freedom. Like, you have to have freedom. And so in terms of where the parameters of freedom are, the boundaries that we set in our society, and this is somewhere where the left, even the people who violently disagree with me, because I'm never for people violently disagreeing with me,
right,
but for people that really oppose what I believe, whether it's because I'm a Christian or just because I'm a conservative or a Republican, people should be standing up for the basic civil liberties of everybody else, even the people that they disagree with. And
right.
And when I'm talking about civil liberties, I just mentioned, like, there is the religious aspect of what constitutes a marriage. And there's also the civil laws that people can still utilize to be joined together in a union recognized by the government. I think it's very important for people to be willing to stand up for other people's freedom Because if we lose sight of the fact that we all want to be individually free and have that personal and economic freedom, when everybody loses sight of that, then the game's over.
Just remember that this pendulum swings both ways.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. You've got people on the left right now saying, see, Trump deserves it. We just, I don't even care if you think, you know, even if there's some gray area there, we don't care. We want him out.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's fine. But now, 10 years from now, if it's a completely dominated government by the right and they decide to do it, guess who's in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
That still doesn't make it right.
The idea is, like, the principles of good government. If we just got back to that, that would solve so many problems. Whether the corruption we were talking about in the first and segment,
yeah,
or these issues of civil liberties, if we just got back to the principles of good government, that would go a long way. Just really, regardless of your personal religious or secular worldview, the principles of good government could go a long way to solving a lot of people's problems, helping keep people stay free and content.
Yeah, I think your basic principle, stepping back, how do you feel about term limits?
Oh, I'm not for them.
Not for them, okay.
Not for them. I used to be for them until I actually got this is going to sound weird, until I actually got elected, but that's not because I wanted to stay in office. It's because I saw that every 8 years in Missouri, the Missouri House of Representatives has a 100% turnover, and that enables and strengthens and empowers special interest.
And see, that's exactly the reason why I used to be for it, mm-hmm. and now I'm against it as well.
Since Republicans have took over, our budget has more than doubled, the state operating budget. Only a little bit of that's due to inflation. The laws that are actually on the books have grown and expanded by huge amounts. And so just because we have term limits does not equate to limited government. Good people, good representatives, people that are willing to fight the fight for limited government, that's what's going to give us good government.
Okay.
Hey, one more Babylon Bee headline. This
yeah,
one's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes here. I'm not. But this is just funny.
It's funny.
Babylon Bee. Here's the picture, Ken. Pride flag switches to infrared spectrum after running out of visible colors. That's funny.
That's pretty
funny.
Good.
Listen, folks, if you're in that community, we can have a good laugh about that because that flag's gotten a little out of hand.
Yeah. And just remember, people on the right don't want to mess with your life. They just want people to be just. The people on the left want to mess and dominate your life.
It's because it's authoritarian. All authoritarian government is on the left side of the spectrum. This is Paul Kirtman, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
Follow Paul on social media at Paul Kirtman. This is the Paul Kirtman Show on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.